This is David's Book Talk, bringing authors and book lovers together in a unique way since 2009. Visit us at davidsbooktalk.com and join the conversation at facebook.com/davidsbooktalk. But first, pull up a chair, relax, and enjoy today's episode. Here's your host, David English.
Hello and welcome to David's Book Talk. Today we have one of my favorite authors. Her name is Linda Fairstein, and her new book is called Deadfall. It's got a bunch of glass on the cover. I love this cover. It's just wonderful.
It's really striking, I think. Yeah.
It is. It's just, you know, wondering why is this glass flying all over the place? And it's out from Dutton, I should mention. Now, is your name really Fairstein?
Yes, my grandfather used to say, think of a beer, Stein.
Okay, I always thought it was Fairstein. And everybody seems to say Fairstein.
A lot of people do, and that's okay. It's what the family always said the other way, but I am not sensitive to it. I've been called worse than that.
I can only imagine. Well, it's just when you're so used to saying it one way, and then all of a sudden somebody tells you, no, you got to say it this way. It's a shock to the system. You know, you got to.
You say it however you want, David. You are entitled.
Well, it's so good to talk to you again. It's been too long that we haven't talked.
It's great to talk to you, and there's nothing like a book show, so that's just a wonderful place to be. I mean, you've got a new book. There's so little of this radio media in general that focuses on books, and I'm really grateful to have this conversation.
Well, that's nice. Not everybody says that to me. It makes me very emotional to hear that. I don't know why.
It's true. Your listeners are there, and they know it too. It's I used to launch every book on the Today Show. They just don't really do fiction anymore unless you're John Grisham, and it's all politics. And so,
really,
to have book talk is extraordinary. Really,
it's an extraordinary experience for me. I've interviewed hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of writers, and it's just the thrill of a lifetime for me because that's what I love.
Right.
I mean, books are what I love. So being able to work with them and to interview the authors that I read is just you can't imagine the thrill for me.
Well, it's mutual, entirely mutual.
It's like if somebody said you could speak to Ernest Hemingway today, you'd be like, you wouldn't know, you'd be so nervous, you wouldn't know what to do.
Nervous and so thrilled to have that opportunity, absolutely.
Now, Deadfall, I mean, I literally was up all night reading this book last night. I mean, I literally did not get much sleep last night just reading this book. Do you realize what you're doing to us?
I hope I'm doing that. I really do hope. I don't know if you've ever interviewed David Baldacci.
Yes, I have.
Who's a great thriller writer. So I credit him with keeping my readers up at night because my first three books, not every chapter ended with a twist or a bit of a hanger that would make you turn, okay, one more chapter, turn the page. And David and I had lunch together, and my husband said to him, you know, you end every chapter on a cliffhanger. You make me turn the next page. And David and I talked about it, process, how you do it. He's an incredibly generous of spirit.
Nice man. Guy, too.
Really nice guy, and writes a great book. And I went back and ratcheted up my own game and changed my style because of David's advice. So I think I'm going to blame David for keeping you up all night.
That's great. And it's not only, you know, doing that, keeping it at the end of the chapter, but it's got to be real. It's got to be realistic. It can't seem like the story doesn't make sense. It's got to really want you to turn the pages and really believe everything you're reading. And that's hard to do.
Yes. It's very hard to do. It's, I'm helped a little by the fact that I had the real prosecutorial job for 30 years. So I like to base my work, my literary work, in the what I call procedural vein of the prosecutor does real things. This is not an amateur sleuth who doesn't know what DNA is and
right.
Doesn't know that phone calls can be traced and intercepted and that somebody can get all your cell messages and emails, even if you've hit delete. So she's got the real job, and I have the real experience, and that's one of the things I thought I could bring to the book to give them a kind of authenticity.
Now,
and then
Paul,
on the
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say that, you know, the fun comes with the fictional part, with making up the story to use as the glue for that authenticity. But I do think it's a nice combination.
There's so many questions, and they're all going through my mind right now. And it's just like, I just love Mike and Mercer and Coop. The three of them, they're like, I hate to say they're like the Three Stooges, but they're funny that way. They're funny that way.
I think of them as the Three Musketeers. Now I'll never look at them in the same way again.
But I mean, they're so unusual, and they're like dogs on a scent. You know, when they get a scent, and they just run with everything they have, and it's so much fun to watch them. Where are they going to end up
next?
And
they cover each other's backs, which is great. I mean, Chapman might dig a Coop. I mean, he's kind of the only one who can get past all the things he doesn't like about her reactions and just nail her with them, but they really cover each other's backs, and that's a kind of loyalty that I have with colleagues and detectives from the NYPD and the DA's office. We really relied on that ability to watch each other and learn from each other, but really protect each other when things got rough.
And also other writers too. I mean, you were just at Thriller Fest, I guess, right?
I missed it because I remarried, and my husband has a ranch in Montana, and he's a fly fisherman, and the only 2 weeks to float the river and catch and release trout are the same 2 weeks that the first of July. So I missed Thriller Fest this year. We're doing it every other. He promised next year I could do Thriller Fest.
Oh, I was sure you were there.
Talk about great writers. I've been there in the past, and I'm on the board of International Thriller Writers, and I love to hang with those men and women, and I'll be there next year.
Oh, that's great. Because you mentioned Craig Johnson's books in your book. I almost dropped the book. I'm like, she's mentioning Craig Johnson. I'm like, oh, my God. I didn't know you even knew him. And I thought,
I've never met him, but I am such a Longmire fan. And
you have to meet him.
I have to meet him. I have a complete set of his books. I've never mentioned him before until this book, so maybe I ought to tweet him, or I don't know what he does on social media.
Oh, he is.
I need to find a way to meet him.
You are really going to love him. He's like a big teddy bear.
Fabulous. Okay.
And he's the nicest human being in the world, and he is really the sweet guy. You know, he looks like he could like crush you with his hands. But he's just wonderful. I hope you get a chance to meet. He has a daughter that lives in...
He writes a really good book. He writes a really good book, and I'm a fan.
Yeah, everything he writes is just turns to gold. He's just amazing. And he's got a daughter that lives in outside of Philly, so he's not that... He'll get somewhere near you, so maybe it could happen someday.
I am writing this note right next to your name. So. I'm Craig Johnson.
Well, I'll be sure to tell him. I'm in contact with him online, so I'll definitely.
Oh, please! If you tell me as a big fan of me that I mentioned him in the book, I'd love that.
Yeah, I think
my email. That's fabulous.
He'll get a kick out of that. He really will, because he just loves.
Nice of you.
Yeah, he makes writing look easy too. You read his books, and he's just. He's so calm about it when you meet him. You're like, how does this man write these books? And I feel the same way about you. How do you write the story? When you think about what it is to sit and write a book from beginning to end, it seems, you know, at first you think, oh, that's easy. You just think up a story and you start writing. But there's so much more to it than that.
Well, you know that, and it's nice of you to tell your listeners, because many people come to bookstores and they do think these stories just, you know, pop out of your head full blown, and somebody, some higher authority dictates them, and you tell your story. And it's very tough, especially in this genre of crime novels. Plotting is really such an important element. And people who read mysteries, I think, are by and large among the most intelligent readers. They like the puzzles. They want to try and figure it out. They don't mind that you give them red herrings and lead them astray. They count on that, and they try and navigate their way through and pick the real killer. And so the craft is really a difficult, a very difficult thing to nail. So when you say you've done it, I mean, for someone like Craig Johnson, who it sounds like a friend is talking to you and is telling you these stories, yet I know for him to weave them together, it's a major triumph and, you know, work of art.
Mm, absolutely. Now, this book's about, to some degree, animal conservation and animal, you know, you, and it's there are parts that are really hard to read and not get upset, I have found,
mm-hmm.
in this book. I found myself, like, getting really almost teary-eyed thinking about the animals getting harmed, and I know that it really happens, and yet I have trouble, you know, digesting that somebody could be that cruel to an animal.
It's a topic that has interested me for a long time, and it's become so much more of a crisis situation now. I mean, the last 2 years and going forward. But these magnificent creatures, many of whom are native to Africa and native to the Indian subcontinent or to Asia, they're one, being killed off, and two, their habitats are just shrinking. And as we encroach on land and clear jungles, and it's they're just magnificent animals. I met them first in a zoo when I was a kid. I've never been on safari, and the global efforts to preserve and try and save the endangered species is just something that's very dear to my heart.
Right. Now, why did Paul Battaglia has appeared in other books, right? Has he appeared in a lot of other books?
Yes, he's been there since book one. He's been the DA in 18 books. He's not here in the 19th.
But he finally dies in this book. Why did you decide to do that?
There's been a lot of tension between Coop and Battaglia in the last four books. And she actually discovers in a book called Devil's Bridge that he was doing some things which I think she thinks were unethical. And it really became, I, Linda, the writer, struggled with how do I rehabilitate him? Is it possible? He's held an elected office. If he's guilty of corruption, would probably go to jail. And so it was time for him to go one way or the other.
Time for him to go.
Smile on my face. I don't mean it lightly. He would otherwise have gone up the river. So I thought it was a very dramatic way to end the last book, Killer Look. And this one begins an hour after that one ended, with Coop in the morgue with her boss, trying to figure out whether he was in with the bad guys or a victim.
I love the scenes where they're interrogating Coop and she's fighting back. I mean, they are just like electric. I mean, it's like, get him. You really want her to fight back, and when she does, it's so much fun to read. I mean, it's like,
David, that is, I mean, this book is brand new, and for you to say that, it's the best thing I could hear, because I have never had a more challenging time or a really more fun time as a writer than writing the first interrogation scene, several chapters of Deadfall, because it was the first time I turned the table on Coop. She is a suspect. She's not in control of the interrogation, which she usually is. It's the feds who are questioning her, and they really go at her, one New York City cop, Jackson Stern among them, and she knows all the techniques. So you see her thinking through, doing the stall of asking the question she was just asked, saying out loud again the question. You see, she's trying to double-think them. I had so much fun writing those scenes, and I'm so glad they resonate with you.
It sort of reminded me of, I don't know if you read Tana French's last book. If you haven't, you really should. It's called The Trespasser.
I've read all of her books. She's another person
she
I idolize.
She did the exact same thing in her books, as far as the interrogation scenes are unbelievably good. I mean, they're
uh-huh.
they're so incredible. And, you know, and it's not easy to do. You really have to ratchet up the interest. I mean, it can't be boring. You got to get rid of all the boring stuff, and everything's got to be interesting, because you got to keep the reader reading. If the reader gets bored, yes. they're going to close the book and they're going to move on.
Yes, and it can't be sort of pro forma with just simple questions and answers asked. They get her on several things that she wasn't even aware of. And so, for example, she didn't even have her phone with her because she couldn't take it into the Met. She left it with her doormat. Mm-hmm. And so the interrogators know what's on her telephone before she knows. And that's really, she really has to scramble and think hard before doing that. It was just such a challenge, such an interesting thing to push myself as a writer, which I think, you know, the readers, your listeners, the intelligent readers, want to have things evolve. They don't want a static character back. They want to see her in different positions. They want to see how she responds to it and what her temperament is when she's pushed to the wall.
Right. Will we be seeing more of Jackson Stern? I really want to see more of that guy. He's interesting.
Okay, well, there you go. Note to self. More Jackson Stern.
Oh, I love that kid. I mean, just the fact that... Well, I'm sorry.
No, you go on, because this is music to my ears. I mean, this is as you form the next book, this is what I love about a book tour. When smart people tell you things. I created a character named Lem Howell in a book called Bad Blood. He was a defense attorney, because all my defense attorney friends had said, you make the defense attorney so sleazy. Like, give us a real one. And I created this silver-tongued, really classy guy for one trial, for one purpose. And I liked him so much, you know, he became a regular. He came back. So you want more Jackson Stern? You'll get him.
I do. I want to see more friction between him and Cooper, right? I think that's wonderful.
Wonderful. Okay.
I must say, you look really good in blue in the back of your book.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's a picture the New York Times took, actually, when they did a story about my apartment. And so I wasn't nervous. It wasn't like sitting for an author portrait where you just have a fake smile. I was just leaning over a piece of furniture, and Catherine snapped it, and I said, use that for the book.
You make it sound so easy.
Well, sitting for a portrait, you know, when you're not Christie Brinkley, is the toughest part of the book, I think. So
she looks good at whatever she is, 66 or something. My God, what the woman? She's not aging at all. It's like
not at all, not at all.
I saw her on the talk recently, and I thought, my God, she looks like she's 40.
Yes.
I hate that woman.
I mean, it's
amazing how much we do that with other people. We always compare ourselves to other people. It's like we can't just say, "Well, we're fine. We don't care what other people look like." It's not that easy.
It's hard to do. Right?
So, is this series? Is it still as much fun to write as it was when you first started it?
Oh yes. I mean, especially since I haven't run out of New York Institute.
What's that?
It's fun. They let me in behind the scenes, and I grew up 20 minutes away from the zoo, so I used to go there as a kid when life was different in zoos, when animals were penned up and caged, and now they've got the African plains, and there's plexiglass separating you from the animals. It's not bars and cages, and they let me in. The zookeepers really talk to the animals, so I always find New York institutions that surprise me. And I think that keenly aware, I love, when I say the competition, I love Michael Connelly, who writes a great police procedural, just introduced a new character. I love Lee Child and Jack Reacher, his character, Lisa Scavolini with her lady lawyers, one of my faves, Tana French, I've never met her. I blurbed her second book right before she hit it huge, so someday I would love to meet her. But Sense of Place, I mean, she takes me to Dublin in every book, and it's just riveting.
Right.
So we all know when you write a series and it goes on for a period of time that it's got to be, it's got to evolve, it's got to hold the reader or they won't come back. And so it's exciting. It's a real test of my own, you know, a one-own skill, whoever the writer is, and energy. And, yes, great fun to write and find issues that would engage Coop as they engage me.
And we have to, we need to talk more for the next book because we don't have a lot of time here. Because we have to let you go. You have more. You have interviews all day, so it's been a delight as always. But next time, let's get into it.
Well, thank you, David. It's great to be back with you, and a gift to me that you talk to me so your listeners can be introduced. Thank you.
And the book again is called Deadfall by Linda Fairstein, and it's out from Dutton and all your bookstores now. And this has been David's Book Talk again, and we'll talk again next time.
You have just enjoyed the podcast of David's Book Talk, brought to you by your host, book lover David English. Please visit us at davidsbooktalk.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter and subscribe to our podcast. We want to hear from you, and we don't want you to miss our upcoming shows with top authors like Mary Higgins Clark, Patricia Cornwell, Lisa Scottolini, Jackie Collins, Nelson DeMille, Michael Connelly, Sue Grafton, Steve Martini, Dale Brown, David Baldacci.